Good morning. Today is Thursday, March the 16th. We survived the Ides of March, only to deal with the Fred of March. Hi, Fred.
Hi. I guess that's better than the Fret of March.
Yes, that is. The Fret just kind of sounds like a speech impediment, doesn't it? Eureka City School Super Duper, Fred Van Fleck is with us. Quote this morning.
In spite of everything, I still believe that people are really good at heart. And the power of that one is who it's from. Anne Frank.
That explains your suit in mourning. Did your team lose last night in the NC2As?
I guess the answer to that is no. I don't have a team.
There you go. I don't follow it. I just am kind of following the headlines. Davis. First time Davis has made it, they upgraded to the D1 program a number of years ago.
I heard that this morning, yes.
They won their first game in the NC2As. Now they're going to get obliterated by Kansas.
Yeah, because they're doing
however,
high seed. There you go.
They won.
Very
How
nice.
How cool
very
is
nice.
That, huh? That
yeah. I want to work for Warren Buffett right now, though, and pick those top four.
Yeah. Sure. and with your luck.
I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah. I heard the odds are like something just close to 1,000,000 to 1 to be able to pick that.
Is that? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I got a shirt for Rhode Island. Hmm. One of my buddies back in Woonsocket.
Okay.
Rhode Island. And I gave him something. So he sent me two Rhode Island, University of Rhode Island shirts. So I'm going to wear that tonight.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Talk about the kiss of death, huh?
Yes.
Oh, boy. So this is an interesting month in education. Certainly, we've got transition at the county.
Correct.
Yeah, don't know what's going on out of Redwoods yet.
Right.
Find out about what's there. It's budget time.
Right.
And the governor's the governor.
Right.
And all these various things going on. How do you guys keep focus?
Well, you can even take the next level, federal government. The big question, what's going to go there with the new Secretary of Education and vouchers and all those pieces and federal funding?
But that's not going to hit for this budget cycle.
Unlikely, yes. Right. Unlikely.
Right. Now, if we pull the sanctuary thing, have you seen some of the legislation that's being proposed? In Congress now, by Congress?
I've seen a lot of legislation being proposed, yes. And there's been a lot of fellow superintendents around the states that have declared themselves basically sanctuary school districts. Or safe havens.
So you saw the language. Any state or city that declares itself sanctuary will not be eligible for any federal dollars.
And hence the reason Eureka City
two or three
has
of them?
Not done that. Yes.
Oh, yeah, but if Eureka City does, you're tarred and feathered.
I don't think so, because we are actually considered a state organization, not governed by the city of Eureka.
Oh, but then if Brown pulls the trigger.
Now, there you go.
That could
be a whole different story.
We'll talk about a little bit what that might mean, how much is at risk there, and on the other side, as well as the budgets and just the normal mid-March notification cycle.
Yes.
Or not, when we come back.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools. Fred, the concept of the budget and what is stable and what might be slipping away is kind of tough to figure out because there are so many variables at play right now. Just on the on the personnel side, okay, the others turning over or having new folks in the top chair. Direct impact, or just secondary impact to Eureka City Schools?
Well, it depends. Depends on what the turnover is and who comes in, because it could have certainly a direct impact, or it could have an indirect impact. When you start talking about personnel, some of the biggest things we're facing on the fiscal side of personnel is, for instance, this year we have a positive kick in that we have 10 retirees in the district, which is about 2 to 3 above normal. And so that's a savings for the district, because as teachers retire out at the top of the salary schedule, we bring in younger teachers at the bottom of the salary schedule.
10 for 10 this year?
Yep. The problem with that is, though, as you look at the flip side of that, is you lose a tremendous amount of experience. And then you look at the pool that we have to hire from right now. There's a teacher shortage across the state, and it makes it extremely difficult to go out and find those highly qualified teachers to come in the classroom and carry forward the quality instruction and student learning. And so that's a challenge.
Is Humboldt still pumping them out?
Humboldt's pumping them out, but nowhere near like they were. And that's a factor of what happened in the 2007 to 2009 recession in the state, and the mass layoffs of teachers across the state, and just that distaste for young folks getting into education, because so many people were getting laid off. So many of our programs around the state just contracted, and not as many teachers are being turned out because of that time when there wasn't that many teachers that were interested. Humboldt State is a great example of that, and they've actually shifted their focus to more online learning as well. So we have a lot of students that never even set foot up here going through teaching programs and distance learning programs, and if you don't get them up here, they don't stay up here.
Well, how do you get them into the classroom if it's all to do? Isn't there a final
student
6 months, a year, whatever it is, where they have to be in the classroom itself?
That's
requires
correct.
Them to be in the neighborhood of where they're going and getting their degree?
And I don't know exactly how Humboldt State is doing that. I don't know if they're doing distance student teaching, meaning that those folks that are doing the distance learning are student teaching where they're from, and the supervisors are going out and visiting them there. I can't answer that. But what I can say with certainty is that the number of teachers that are being produced out of Humboldt State are drastically lower. And when I say drastically lower, we're talking 25% of what they once were.
What had been the placement before? Of a graduating class of 100, I know it's not, but a graduating class of 100, how many go boom right into a teaching position historically?
It was quite a low number, and that was due to a multitude of reasons. Number one being we're a declining enrollment county, so many school districts are laying off teachers, and as you lay off teachers, there's no spots to hire young teachers on. Now, we are a pretty stable enrollment county, except we are having all those older generations of teachers retire, and those older generations of teachers retire en masse, since they're really bulked on that end of the salary schedule in seniority level. We're trying to hire more teachers, but yet there's less out there to hire, and it just has that ripple effect all the way down, because before, if you didn't get hired as a full-time teacher, you just went out and subbed. And now, since we're pretty much depleting our pools of qualified teachers, we're also depleting our pools of substitute teachers.
So that initial 10% that may have been hired, you're now having to go down to the 20% mark. Where does it start getting sketchy? Because and this is more of a grind for me, but if somebody doesn't have abilities and qualifications as a profession, I really have a tough time thinking that they qualify for the seniors classes or the graduate classes, because you're putting your stamp of approval on that graduate. And if they really don't qualify, why would you have your institution stand behind them and say they qualify?
Well, state of California says who qualifies and who doesn't qualify, and we absolutely have to follow those rules. So there are no teachers in any of our classrooms right now that are not qualified teachers.
I meant the universities sending out these new graduates. They're putting their stamp of approval just because they've got that sheepskin.
Right. And you could use the example of when you went through college, and think about the students that were to your right into your left. Were they all of the same
caliber? I have.
You know, not everyone is created equal. Everyone has their strengths and everyone has their weaknesses, and not everyone was a born teacher. And teaching really is both an art and a science, and it really doesn't matter how qualified you are as far as education. That doesn't always make a great match. And there's some people out there that aren't qualified as far as an education who is just too bad because, man, they would make a fantastic teacher.
Yeah, and on the flip side, I get people applying for on-air positions with speech impediments that make it difficult to understand. And nobody has told them, oh,
right.
By the way.
Right.
Maybe you want to be a producer or an engineer.
Right.
Not
right.
The on-air talent.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Everyone has to find that niche and where they can really maximize their strengths, and it certainly isn't the same for all of us.
So are you having to go out of region, out of state?
We're recruiting all over the place. In fact, we're going down to job fairs in Santa Rosa, Chico. We advertise on a website called EdJoin, and that's a statewide, repository of openings where teachers go all the time and administrators looking for positions.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Fred, the position you're in, having to hire teachers and having to do outreach, has got to be refreshingly different. I mean, nobody's gnashing, nobody's grinding. Okay, it's more challenge for the system, for the staff, to go out and find. But nonetheless, it's a better position to be than having to go around and drop the bomb on four or five people.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I'm very proud of is that over the last, I've been in the district now for 5 years, and we...
And you still have your hair. What's that about, man?
I do. But you know what? I just got my contract renewed for another 4 years last week, and maybe by the end of that one, I won't have any left.
Be looking like me, yeah. Jeez, but what will I be looking like then?
Yes, yes.
Yipers.
No comment.
Yeah, no need.
We haven't laid off any teachers in that amount of time. I think over that entire period, we had one teacher that we laid off because it was a program that just didn't have enough students enrolling in it. And other than that, we haven't laid off any teachers. And we are going from a period... The first year I was in the district, we had a decline of 150 students. In the prior 10 years, an average decline of 160 students per year. And we've leveled out now. And we are actually increasing enrollment a little bit. We're up about 30 to 40 students this year. And so we're moving in a positive direction, and things are going in a good direction in that regard. And it is a nice problem to have to say we're having problems finding teachers out there because we're hiring, rather than we're having problems because we're laying off teachers because we're decreasing in size.
High school, junior high, elementary, across the board. Where's of these 10? Where were they?
As far as where the new kids coming from?
No, where are the holes for your faculty?
Oh.
What are you looking for?
Elementary is probably the easiest to fill. It's still challenging. We went from a day when we had an elementary, 5 years ago, elementary opening, 100-plus applicants for one opening, to now we're lucky to get 20 for six or seven openings applicants. And so it makes it a very different pool. When you get to the junior high school and high school, which are the same credentialing, single subject credentials, elementary is multiple subject credential, the most challenging areas, special education and mathematics. those are the two toughest areas by far to find teachers in. And then some specialty things like speech and language pathologists, extremely difficult to find those. I mean, they're just gold. If you have a speech pathologist credential, name your location. You can go anywhere in the state of California and find a job tomorrow.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Because the requirements are so difficult, the need is so great, or there just aren't that many moving into that, attracted to that career path?
I choose D, all of the above.
Oh, really? It's just across the board, everything you can think of.
Everything you just said right there are all true. And I would say probably the single biggest qualifier on that is there is very limited number of programs across the state that offer the speech and language pathologist credential.
Oh, so to get the degree is...
That is correct.
Narrow,
yes.
Also.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you have the expanding need for speech and language pathologists across the state because more students requiring those services. And so
who needs those services?
I mean, it goes all across the board from students that have a little trouble articulating their R's or a little speech impediment, all the way up to someone who's severely handicapped and can't really talk at all.
So it's not the ESL. It's more of a... A physical.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That is correct. So students that are learning English are taught by a completely different credential than that. Yes.
See, I thought I'd avoid that mud puddle for you.
But, you know, the other thing that's a difficult area for us to attract is administration as well. And that's traditionally been... a difficult area across the state. This year, as a matter of fact, we have a couple announcements that just came out this week. Angela Scholl, who's the principal of Lafayette right over here, basically across the street, has been there for 5 years, and she's leaving Lafayette, and she's going to Eureka High School, where she's going to be the assistant principal at Eureka High School, replacing Kathleen Hansel, who has been in the district for 30 years, and Kathleen Hansel's retiring. And then we also have, so Lafayette will be open, and we're actually going to do a statewide advertising for that position. We have some very qualified folks in the district, as well as looking out of the district to see what we can find for the new principal there.
Is a principal, I don't mean this pejorative, I know it's going to sound that way, but I really, honestly, trust me, is a principal a glorified teacher? Because it seems like most principals come from the teacher ranks, rather than from an administrative perspective. Is that the job definition?
Yes, because here's the deal. You have to be a teacher now for a minimum of 4 years before you can get an administrative credential. And in order to get an administrative credential...
So there's not a degree like in government where there's just a degree in administration.
Correct.
Public administration doesn't work for education.
Right. You have to have a credential in administration in order to evaluate certificated teachers.
KINS, News and Information Times 841. We'll be back with more from Fred.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, what's the biggest challenge this time around? If it's not personnel related, because of the teachers and everybody's kind of happy and you're trying to find people, if the budget is kind of halfway sort of static, what's out there that's got you staying awake at night?
I would say if you put the budget aside and you start going to the other side of the house, which is the educational side of the house and the delivery of instruction and student learning, it would certainly be the changing climate of our clientele, our students. And that certainly is a changing climate because who our students are now are very different than who our students were 30 years ago. The family dynamics are very different on average. The dyeing industry here in Humboldt County has definitely created a different level of poverty in our county. We have many single-parent families. We have many families that are living in motels or on the streets. It's just crazy dynamics that we deal with. And when you don't have that complete package of what's happening at school and then the support system that goes behind it at home, many times it creates big challenges for the students, big challenges for the teachers teaching them, and big challenges for the principals overseeing those sites.
Do you have concern with the legalization?
Oh, I absolutely do.
Not only what the message says, but the day-to-day impacts?
Absolutely do. And here's the impact that to me is the most concerning. And I've heard this come out of Colorado. And the idea is, okay, cannabis, to make sure I use the correct term, is now legal. And it's legal. It's a medicine. So it's safe. So if I'm pregnant, it's not a problem if I take that. And so the concern then becomes if there's this idea out there that it's safe and mothers who are bearing children are taking it, what is that long-term impact on their children? And I'm not going to sit here and say I know what that is, but
so
I will
say
you're looking
plus
me.
10.
Yes.
Not today.
Plus 5. They enter our kindergarten at age 5.
Well, I figure they don't become instantly pregnant when they're high.
Yeah, I don't know.
It might. I don't know. What, yeah. That ship has sailed. Let's just say that. Huh?
Yes, yes, yes. So, and then the other impact that I get concerned about, Humboldt County, it's already readily available, and it has been readily available for a long time. However, in other parts of the state, it hasn't been as readily available. It's around. You can get it if you really want it. But like alcohol, right now you can go down and buy alcohol at any store if you're over the age of 21. Children can get, if they really want it, can get very creative and figure out how to get that. That's my concern about marijuana, too, as you get into other areas of the state where it isn't as readily available and it's not grown in all the neighbors' backyards. How much more will the usage pick up amongst our teens?
So it's the ripple through the state.
Right. Right.
To use a cheap wine analogy.
Yes, yes. And
I noticed that one didn't get lost on you.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yes, yes.
Enrollment is stabilized.
That is correct. We have one other principal position, though, that I'd like to bring up here a little bit, and that's Winship. Our principal Winship is actually requested reassignment to Eureka High School as well as a counselor. And so we just hired Terry Waterhouse, who is a veteran principal out at Morris Elementary in McKinleyville. So Terry Waterhouse will be joining us as the new principal of Winship Middle School starting next fall for the 17-18 school year.
That is because Chris blinked, isn't it?
What's that?
It's not because Hartley's leaving.
No ripple effects there at all.
Oh, yes, man. Yes, now he's back to the same analogy. See everybody tomorrow.